It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Good to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Time for a special Election Day edition of the Political Breakfast. Theron Johnson and Brian Robinson are back with us. Both are political strategists. Brian is a former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director for Governor Nathan Deal. Theron is a Democratic strategist and former National Southern Regional Director for the Obama 2012 campaign. Gentlemen, welcome back, and thanks for being with us on Election Day.
Good morning.
I live for special election days.
I noticed just a tiny smile when you said that.
And a lot of sarcasm.
Well, let's get to it, though. Let's suppose someone is watching tonight, looking at websites, for instance, or just watching the numbers come in. What should one look for to know whether the basic assumptions that we made about this race are actually coming true? A, that John Ossoff, the leading Democratic candidate, will make it to a runoff but not win outright, and B, that there will be just one Republican making it to the runoff.
I think the first thing that I'm going to be looking for, and I know all the Democrats who have been following this race very closely will be looking for, are the early numbers out of counties like DeKalb and Cobb.
Because those are kind of new. Well, DeKalb especially hasn't always been in the 6th District.
Correct. And DeKalb, as we know, is the number one Democratic county in the state. Most of any race, the majority of the votes are going to come out of DeKalb County.
This is North DeKalb, though.
Well, but still, with North DeKalb, Dennis, you have a great deal of white progressive voters there. But a lot of them are women. Some of them do not live in the three-car garage, manicured lawns, like my good friend Brian Robinson lives. But then I think in Cobb County—
There are
County,
plenty of Ossoff signs in my neighborhood, by the way.
But in Cobb County, as we know, and your listeners know this, is that this is a county that Democrats were able to win in November 2016. But the third thing we're going to be looking for, Dennis, is to really see how well John Ossoff is doing in some of these heavily Republican precincts. I think that if John Ossoff wins tonight without a runoff, it would be a big, big win, not only for Georgia Democrats, but for Democrats all over the country. But if he goes to a runoff tonight and is able to do very well in those precincts within DeKalb and Cobb, and if he can sort of perform in a very good way in some of the precincts in Fulton, particularly in North Fulton, then I think he has a great chance to win in the runoff.
Brian, what are you going to be looking for?
If you see John Ossoff opening up huge leads in DeKalb and then being very competitive in East Cobb and North Fulton, then that's his pathway to getting 50% plus one. I don't think he's getting the 50% plus one. In fact, I think at this juncture, he's trending probably in the low 40s. I think his numbers in the low 40s, where he's been consistently, is sort of his ceiling. You haven't seen momentum swinging him up any. So he's been sort of stuck in that number, and I think that's going to play out today.
But you both said watch Ossoff's margins in DeKalb, but doesn't he need big numbers, just raw numbers of voters too? Because a lot of the folks who are in that section of the district, as we mentioned, haven't always been in that district and might not know that they're there. So there's an education effort in addition to turnout that Democrats have to do here, right?
I think everyone in the Atlanta metropolitan area right now knows that there's an election today, and I think that they're going to be looking for the results this evening.
But do the voters in that DeKalb portion of the district know that they are actually in the district to vote, not just to watch?
Well, one of the things that the Ossoff campaign has been doing, particularly on radio, and they've been targeting African-American radio very heavily with a really good ad from Congressman Lewis. And what they say in the beginning of the ad, Dennis, is that if you live in Cobb, DeKalb, or Fulton, you have an upcoming election. Now, that's very general. But with the Ossoff campaign—
Yeah, there are parts of DeKalb that aren't in the
correct. So with the Ossoff campaign, I think that
like the part where Ossoff lives in DeKalb, that's not in the district.
You know, again, there you go, not being fully disclosed. You know, you don't have to necessarily live in the district in order to represent
still
the
true
people in Washington. But the big thing that they did that was very clever is they got everyone's attention. And so then they had a very robust canvassing operation and a phone banking operation to let folks know that there is an election. The other thing I want to say is this. What we saw yesterday was a tweet from President Donald Trump.
I was going to get to that.
Now, that's Brian Robinson's, you know, Republican president who has now decided the day before the election to engage. I think that if Donald Trump was so popular in this district, we would have seen Air Force One here already, and hopefully it wouldn't have cost the taxpayers of whatever county he decided to land in $3 million like we've been paying for him to take his now over 15 golf trips to Mar-a-Lago. But I think that that tweet is going to have a reverse effect. I think that the Republicans thought that it would excite their base. I think that it really, really, really excited the Democratic people to really go out and vote in this election.
Brian, you have pointed out in the past that this is a district where Republicans are not, by and large, enthused with President Trump, although he certainly has a base of support in the district. Does that tweet, though, help the Republican candidates with their fellow Republicans, or should the president have just stayed out of this one and let the Republican field percolate?
I think Republican voters sort of tune out what Donald Trump tweets because they're happy with what he's doing as president. They're happy with Gorsuch. They're happy with the efforts to repeal and replace. They're happy that we're finally standing up to the really bad actors on the world stage that got a free pass under the Obama administration's surrender policy. And so they're happy that we're making progress on a lot of issues important to conservatives. I don't think his tweet really matters in this juncture. I think, in fact, if the fact he hasn't engaged so far suggests he's been involved with much more important things like bombing really bad actors in Afghanistan and Syria and meeting with the Chinese leader. So he's been had his hands full with very important things. So I'm glad that he hasn't been involved because it would look bad to be overly political at such a serious time. Now, I saw a very interesting statistic over the weekend. Of the 10 House districts, U.S. House districts, that have the highest percentage of college-educated residents, nine of the 10 are held by Democrats.
Yeah, I saw
that
one.
The other one is held formerly by Tom Price. This is the only Republican district. So it sort of shows you some of the fundamental challenges that we have in the district on a partisan level. But this is still fundamentally a Republican district. And so if you see high turnout, that's really good news for Republicans. If you see abysmally low turnout, which I think won't happen, we've already seen so much interest in early voting.
The early voting was...
it's been huge. That indicates a big turnout for Election Day. So if you see a huge turnout, great for Republicans, a really small turnout would be fantastic for Ossoff and give him a chance at 50%.
The fact that we're actually having this discussion on Election Day in a Republican-controlled district, it's unbelievable within itself, Dennis, because this is supposed to be a seat that Brian and all his friends are supposed to be kicking back after the Masters weekend, you know, sipping a little lemonade and getting ready to go, you know, come from Easter weekend with church with their nice, light, you know, gray brown suits on and just kick back and win this election on today. Now what these Republicans are having to do, Dennis, is, oh, my God, we actually have a race on our hands because we have a president who has not been able to appeal to the many thousands and thousands of disaffected Republicans who live in this Congressional District 6. Let's not forget that Donald Trump only won this district by 1%. And the reason he only won it by 1% is because not only because the votes that came out of DeKalb and Cobb, but there were people in North Fulton who did not vote for Donald Trump. So I think a lot of these people are still disaffected by him as a candidate. They're disaffected by him now as a president who cannot govern. And by the way, you know, bombing people and showing off your missiles doesn't make you presidential. What makes you presidential is continue what Barack Obama was able to do, and that is keep this country safe and don't lead us into a baseless war.
I mean, the idea that attacking the Taliban that throws chemicals on girls trying to go to school is baseless. The idea that going after Assad, who chemically attacked children and families, just shows you the way that we had defined deviancy down under the Obama administration.
But I said that President Obama kept this country safe. And you know this because out of his 8 years of his presidency, we did not enter into any new wars. We ended the ones that your president, George Bush, created, and he killed Osama bin Laden. And now you got in the 6th Congressional District, you got the Republicans going as low as I've ever seen, basically trying to say that John Ossoff has Islamic ties because of his work in the company and really bringing back Osama bin Laden. And let's not forget, this is not the first time that Georgia Republicans have really stooped this low when you guys took out Max Cleland. And so I think that, to me, you got to give President Obama to credit, but again, Donald Trump bombing these people without really any plan to sustain what he's done does not make him presidential.
Haven't both presidents, though, Trump and Obama, faced the question, to be fair to them both, of which wars to enter? President Obama was criticized, and now President Trump is being criticized for picking their battles and ignoring other ones. Somalia, for instance, is a huge example of that. We're now looking at mass starvation and perhaps murder on a broad scale in some parts of that area, and neither president has chosen to get involved in that.
This is what I want to say about that, Dennis. You know, yesterday we woke up in the morning to an African-American male who I believe is very mentally ill, who had a gun and walked up to an innocent 74-year-old man walking down the street. You know the war that I want President Trump to pay attention to? You know the war that I want him to really spend millions and millions of dollars fighting? I want him to spend money and attention on fighting the war on guns, you know, fighting the war on mental illness in this country. We're not doing anything about it. And here we are in a state like Georgia, where we got to go and beg this governor again for him to veto a unnecessary campus carry law. That's the war that I want our president to focus on before we go over into Somalia and Syria and all these places that he bombs to make Republicans feel that he's patriotic and he's American. No, fight the war on guns, fight the war on poverty, fight the war on mental illness in this country first, and then go take care of our allies and other people.
Donald Trump ran on a campaign of America First, meaning we're not going to involve ourselves in every foreign entanglement. Are there atrocities going on in the world at all times? Absolutely. Can America fix all of them with her benevolence? No. And it is an exercise in modesty by this country to not get involved in everything, even though we all hurt to see any child suffering. We all hurt to see communities slaughtered by militias. We can't fix it all. And in fact, when we go in there, we make enemies and we create long-term hard feelings amongst governments, and we spend lives and treasure. And frankly, right now, we don't have enough to spare.
Let's take a look at what might happen after today. Assuming for the moment, let's just assume that there is a runoff. Brian, the big task for Republicans will be getting the troops on the same page. Now, they've allowed a cooling off period. There's a long time between today's election and the runoff on June 20th. But can Republicans unify and take on what would probably be still a very active and energized Democratic effort in June?
Absolutely. This has been a very civil primary amongst the Republicans. You haven't seen a lot of personal attacks between the two of them. I mean, there have been some differences on policy. There have been some pointing out that some of the candidates maybe weren't being completely honest about their resumes, et cetera. But this has not been a burn-the-bridges-down campaign. Compare it to the 2016 presidential primary in our party, which was vicious. I mean, it was as personal and devastating as any we've ever witnessed. And the Republicans were able to rally behind a candidate that many weren't necessarily comfortable with and voted for him and put him in office, beating Hillary Clinton. So I think it's going to be much easier than it was last year to get Republicans to come together. Again, this is a fundamentally Republican district and a mainstream Republican district. And any of the candidates that are in line to get the quote-unquote nomination, because it's really not a primary, but the Republican is going to be in the runoff, is going to be a mainstream Republican who can easily get the votes of Republican voters. Here's the deal. Will we be able to motivate them to get out and vote in a June special election where this is the only thing on the ballot? I can tell you the Democrats are mobilized, but we know traditionally Democrats are garbage when it comes to showing up at runoffs. We've got to be less garbagey than them on runoff day.
I think many of the Republicans who are very wealthy, like Brian, will probably be somewhere on a beach on June 20th and probably won't even be.
But the message will be, as it has been in some of the ads, Theron, stop Ossoff. And that is the kind of message that certainly could energize Republicans.
What John Ossoff has got to do is on Wednesday morning, he's got to wake up and say, okay, he's got to have a very strong message to the Democratic Party and say, listen, I'm a Georgia Democrat and I support all of your values. But we as Georgia Democrats, we've got to understand that he's going to have to pivot. He's going to have to pivot to the middle. He's going to have to say some things. He's going to have to show support on some policy issues that we as Democrats may not agree with him on. And I'm here to say on this show that we've got to understand that the ultimate goal here is to win. In order for John Ossoff to win, he's got to continue to have that momentum from the Democrats that live in the district, but he's also got to appeal to, I believe, disaffected, educated white women in the district, and he's got to talk about issues that matter to them most. I believe that they all care about affordable health care. I think they really want to talk about jobs, but more importantly, these are folks who I think want John Ossoff, who I think would be a very calm and strong member of Congress, to go to Washington and hold Donald Trump accountable.
It's been interesting to see the amount of outside money, Theron, starting with you, that John Ossoff brought in. Meanwhile, Republicans have spent a lot of outside money criticizing all the outside money that the Democrats are bringing in. If you're a voter in the 6th District with lots of people from both parties from the outside telling you what to do, at what point do you say, you know, I'm fatigued with this?
One of the things that I've been proud of is that John Ossoff has actually been able to really localize his campaign. I mean, while it is a congressional race, he's talking about issues that I think matter directly to the voters in the 6th District. Now, also, I went and looked at these numbers because Brian now for 2 weeks has been saying that 95% and 96% of the money has come from outside. That's not necessarily true.
A whole bunch of it has.
Yeah, so. but a lot of these organizations, I think like Act Blue and other organizations, are raising money from people who actually support their cause. And so when they raise that money, they encourage people to go and donate to the campaign. So, of course, they have to disclose that information. But the other thing that's so important is that what you just said, Dennis, is that you have the Republican Party who, by the way, started first in this race spending outside money because they were the first ones to put up an ad, political actions committees and others to put up an ad in this race. And so I think that John Ossoff put together a very strategic online fundraising apparatus, and it's been very beneficial to him. I think that he will raise more money locally, but ultimately he's going to need all the money he can raise to deal with the lies and the deception that's going to come from Republicans once he makes this runoff.
Brian, won't Republicans, if there is a runoff, need more outside money?
Look, those third-party groups are going to be there on both sides. There's no doubt about that. The Democrats are going to have theirs that come in, too. It is perfectly logical that voters in this district are going to raise an eyebrow that this candidate that they've never heard of 3 months ago comes out of nowhere, parachutes into town, and somehow is darting past 40%. But all of his money raised, $8 million plus, almost all of it comes from out of state. This isn't Georgia values. These aren't Georgia Democrats, that Georgia Democrat I keep hearing about in his TV ads. This is California and New York Democrats. That is who is funding this campaign. Oh, and it's for a guy who doesn't even live in the 6th district. He lives in Hank Johnson's district, the member that he served for. And I think in the runoff, one thing you're going to see more of, I hope, is us tying this guy to Hank Johnson. This guy says he's this moderate, I'm going to cut waste. Where is there a record of Hank Johnson doing that when Ossoff was on the payroll there? None.
As far as living in the district goes, though, I mean, we have seen in recent Georgia history at least one Democrat and one Republican member of Congress who didn't live in the district. Congressman David Scott currently does not live in his district. Bob Barr, when he was a congressman at different times, didn't live in his district either. And that's partly because of the way that the legislature draws the lines.
Well, that's true. And here's the thing, though. They were in those districts when they got elected the first time, which is the correct parallel here. The one parallel that I can think of that goes to your point is Phil Gingrey did not live in the old 11th district when it first got drawn. He was later drawn into the district the next 2 years later.
So I remember a time where poor John Barrow, you know, who I worked for. I'm proud to say I worked for a blue dog Democrat.
East and Southeast Georgia.
Yeah, who was a Georgia Democrat who had Democratic values. But here's the bottom line.
He's a real Georgia Democrat.
Well, it's amazing to me that you come on the show complimenting John Barrow now when I've heard many, many times.
Is that a compliment?
Well, you just said he was a Georgia Democrat. But here's the bottom line. I think that, again, what scares Brian and Republicans most is that this young man, who is 30 years old, who is running for office for the very first time, who quite frankly is a sort of an outsider. The reason he's raised all this money, guys, is because there's a growing resistance to this president. We saw this immediately after he was elected. We saw it at the inaugural when you had hundreds and thousands and almost millions of women all across the country marching against this guy. What John Ossoff has done is that he's the right person at the right time who decided to run for office in a Republican district that Republicans are supposed to be running away with. But I think that he's inspiring. I think that he's not afraid. I think he's courageous. I think he's appealing. I mean, you can say what you want to say about his age. You can say what you want to say about him living with his girlfriend in a district so she can go and complete medical school. The bottom line is this. You look at the candidates that are running on the Republican side, and you know a lot of them. John Ossoff, as a staffer, has actually dealt with more policy than a lot of these guys.
You know, I'll end with this. Whenever you see a print interview with John Ossoff, the reporter always writes, we talked to John Ossoff in his parents' house. And I just think that just sort of sums it up, doesn't it? This millennial, I'm still living at home, but I'm going to run for Congress, and I deserve it, and I'm entitled to this because I've worked so hard. Give me a gold medal.
Or we got the guy who became president of the United States who had never held office before, who basically had a history of discriminating against people. And, I'm just going to question whether the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama, is really a U.S. citizen or not. And then I'm going to go say that your candidate, Rubio, has little hands. And then I'm going to say that Jeb Bush has no energy. And, I'm just going to say that Ted Cruz lies because he said something about my wife, which was actually true.
I'll say this, You can mark it down, and I will not back off of this statement later. I do believe that John Ossoff was born in this country and that he is a legitimate U.S. citizen. I do think he was.
That's very honorable of you, Brian. Thank you for being courageous and saying it on the record.
Yes, but he doesn't live in the 6th District, so that's the difference.
Time running out here. Quick predictions from both of you. Assuming that there is a runoff, Theron, starting with you, one Republican or two in the runoff, and which one?
I think that John Ossoff would make the runoff, and I think the Republican more than likely will probably be Karen Handel, only based on name recognition, because I think that if you look at the polls, the voters know her, and I think they're highly likely to vote for her.
Any chance Ossoff wins without a runoff? Honestly, no.
I am optimistic, but I think it's unlikely.
I think Ossoff will finish somewhere in the low to mid-40s and will be going into the runoff with a really large plurality coming out of the first round. So the question becomes, who is going to be the Republican in there with him?
And full disclosure here, you have done some work for Judson Hill, one of the
candidates. Yes, I am a consultant on Judson Hill's team. And I think any polling that you've seen in the last few weeks is just a complete muck. There's no way to know what's really happening out there. People quit answering these phone calls a long time ago. They're getting these robocalls from campaigns and from surrogates endorsing certain candidates. People have just pretty much sent everything to voicemail at this juncture. It's impossible to get a sample. I keep hearing that from those who are going into the field. So I don't trust any numbers that show anybody with a big lead. I think that there are four candidates, Karen Handel, Judson Hill, Dan Moody, and Bob Gray, who are bunched up together in a pack. And we don't know who is breaking out of that pack over the last weekend. Now, the public polling showed that it was Karen Handel. But again, I don't know that we can rely on any of that because it is such a soup out there with the samples. So if you see a really huge turnout early on, because Cobb will be one of the first ones to come in because Fulton and DeKalb are notoriously slower, and you see Judson with a really, really big lead there, or there's a huge turnout in Cobb, that's a good indicator for him. If you see Karen Handel breaking out in DeKalb, where there is no Republican from DeKalb, that is neutral territory for these candidates. If you see Karen Handel or any of the others do very well in DeKalb, that's going to be a really good sign for them because Gray, Handel, and Moody, presumably, are going to be divvying up the North Fulton precincts. So Cobb, which only has Judson, DeKalb, which has no Republicans, that's kind of where I'm going to have my eyes tonight.
And the best part of the soup is it'll be brought to a boil shortly and will be served. Theron Johnson is a Democratic strategist and former National Southern Regional Director for the Obama 2012 campaign. Brian Robinson, a Republican strategist and former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director to Georgia Governor Nathan Deal. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again soon and sort through the debris.
Vote your ass off.
Yeah, more like exaggerate your ass off.